the rest of the Bible story is really framed around this question: how then can we again become godly? How can godliness be restored? How can we have a genuine love for God? A genuine heart desire for God? How can we escape living under the tyranny of self?
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, when you begin a broadcast with that many questions, you know I'm going to come to you and ask, well, how can we do this?
Yes, well, we spoke about godliness at the top of the program, and we have a marvelous verse of scripture as we're coming in the lead up to Christmas. It's in 1 Timothy and in chapter 3, and it says here, "Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness." There's the question, the mystery. How in the world am I going to live a godly life? How can I be set apart for the Lord? That's really what the word means. How can I be different from this world? So that sets up the question. You want to know the answer. The answer's in the next word. Great indeed is the mystery of godliness. He was manifest in the flesh. Now, there's a statement about Jesus being born into the world. He was manifested in the flesh. But what's being said here is that the mystery of godliness, the great question, how can I be the person that God calls me to be? The answer to that lies in a person, and it lies in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's Christmas applied to the realities of our life, and we're going to spend these next days looking at these marvelous verses in 1 Timothy and in chapter 3.
So grab a Bible and join us right there. Today, we're really looking at verses 14 to 16 as we begin the message, The Open Secret of a Godly Life. Here is Pastor Colin.
Well, good morning, everyone. If you would open your Bible at these verses that have just been read for us in 1 Timothy and chapter 3. In the weeks that lead up to Christmas each year, we try to focus our attention particularly on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is he? What has he done? And why does it matter? The whole Bible, of course, is about him, and he is always at the center of any true Christian preaching. This year, I want us to focus on or camp out on just one verse, and that is 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Let me read it again for you. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. Now here we have six marvelous statements about our Lord Jesus Christ. And you may notice that they come in three pairs. First, how we know Jesus. Well, we know Jesus because he was manifested in the flesh and vindicated by the Spirit. That is, we know God through Jesus because he was manifested in the flesh, and we know that Jesus is God because he was vindicated by the Spirit. Here we have the great truth of the deity and the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was manifest in the flesh. He was vindicated by the Spirit. Then we have two phrases that speak about how Jesus was made known. He was seen by angels, and he was proclaimed among the nations. The contrast here, angels are as near to God as you can get. The nations, otherwise translated the Gentiles, were as far from God as you can get, and Jesus Christ brings those who are furthest away into proximity with God himself, this great act of reconciliation for which he came. And then the third pair of statements speak about how Christ is received. He is believed on in the world and taken up into glory. Notice that the way in which we know Jesus here on earth is by faith, by believing in him. In heaven, his immediate glory is seen and known. And for those who do believe, one day our faith will be turned to sight and we will see the King in his beauty. Now here then are six marvelous statements about our Lord Jesus Christ, beginning with him coming to us in his flesh, in his birth, and ending with him ascending for us into glory. Now, scholars have suggested that these six statements, which you may notice if you have the Church Bible, are printed in a poetic form, that they may actually be part of a very early Christian creed, or that they may actually have been part of a very early Christian hymn that was sung by congregations. And since the first line of what may be a very early Christian hymn is about the incarnation, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was manifest in the flesh, I think that what we might have here is actually one of the very earliest, the very first Christmas carols. I think that's what we have here in this verse. So the plan for these next 3 weeks, God willing, is that we will look together at Jesus, born and raised, seen and proclaimed, believed on and glorified. But today, what I want us to do is to focus in on the introduction to these six great statements. For this reason, I want us to see right from the beginning why what we're going to learn about Jesus matters and how it is of immediate relevance to every one of us here today. So I want to focus on these words: great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. And we'll look at just three words today: the word godliness, the word mystery, and then, of course, Jesus. First of all, then, godliness. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. Now, what is godliness? How is it different, for example, from holiness? Well, the place to begin is in Psalm 4 and verse 3, where we read this: that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. That's the key. To be godly means that you are God's man or God's woman. To be godly is to love God more than any other love in your life. It is to live for God more than any other thing or person you live for. It is therefore to become more and more like God himself. Godliness, in other words, is what you were made for. God made you for himself. You are not your own. And if you are godly, you know that you are not your own. You know that you belong first of all to him. And not only did God make you for himself, he also made you like himself. Adam and Eve were made in God's image and in his likeness. What that means very simply is that Adam was made to be God's man. Eve was made to be God's woman. But they chose not to be godly. Adam said, in effect, I want to be my own man. Eve said, in effect, I want to be my own woman. And so the image and the likeness of God was marred and it was defaced. And instead of being godly, the man and the woman lived under the tyranny of self. Instead of loving God, we find that they were very quickly hiding from God. Instead of knowing God walking with them as they had once experienced, now they were far from the God who had once been near to them. And there was a great chasm, a chasm that was filled with guilt and filled with shame. Now, from that opening of the Bible story, the rest of the Bible story is really framed around this question: how then can we again become godly? How can godliness be restored? How can we have a genuine love for God, a genuine heart desire for God? How can we escape living under the tyranny of self? And let's face it, even for us who believe, it is so often the case, is it not, that we come even to a place of worship like this and our minds are distracted and somehow spiritual things can seem far from us and we feel far from being God's man, far from being God's woman. God made you to reflect his glory. His purpose is that you should share his joy. But how can you become the person of which it would truly be said, she's God's woman, he's God's man? Now, that really is the question that is at the very heart of this chapter, 1 Timothy and chapter 3. And just so you get the context here, some of you will be well aware that this very important chapter of the Bible is one of the places where God lays out the qualifications for Christian leaders. And the reason that there are these qualifications, which could be summarized as a godly life, the reason that there are these qualifications for Christian leaders is that Christian leaders are called to lead in the life in which all Christians are called to follow, and therefore these things must be sought and must be identifiable in those who lead. Look at them with me, just to get the sense of the chapter from the beginning. Therefore, an overseer, someone who's trusted with responsibility of leadership in the church, must be, and here it comes, above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well. Next verse, he must not be a recent convert or he'll be filled with conceit. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders so that he won't fall into disgrace. Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. Well, you get the picture, don't you? This is a list that is laying out what a godly life looks like. And the question when you've read through this long list is, okay, how is that possible? Is what is being laid out here, a truly godly life, simply a dream? Or is the apostle actually describing something that we today can pursue? And if it's something that we today really can pursue, then how do we go about doing that? Well, our verse right at the end of the chapter, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, gives us the answer. Having laid out this spectrum of what is involved in the dimensions of a godly life, to be God's man, to be God's woman, Paul ends the chapter by saying, here is how the godly life I have just been describing is possible for you.
Well, we've been looking at godliness. When we come back in just a moment, we're going to look at another word, mystery. You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called The Open Secret of a Godly Life, part of a larger series simply called Jesus. And if you want to make sure you don't miss a future broadcast in the series, you can sign up to podcast the program. Do that through our website. It's openthebible.org. If you did join us a little bit late, we're in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3. Grab a Bible, meet us there as we continue the message. Again, here is Pastor Colin.
Paul ends the chapter by saying, here is how the godly life I have just been describing is possible for you. And that takes us to the second word, mystery. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. Now, here's the good news. The word mystery here doesn't mean mystery in the sense that that word is used with Agatha Christie or other similar stories in that genre. A mystery, in other words, is not an unsolved puzzle that leaves you scratching your head. If that was the meaning, by the way, we would all be in frustration and we might as well go home. Here is the godly life to which we're called. How are we to pursue it? That's a mystery. That's not good news. And so you will be very glad to know that the word mystery in the New Testament does not mean a puzzle that you cannot solve and it leaves you scratching your head. What does it mean? The word mystery is used more than 20 times in the New Testament. We read about the mystery of Christ, the mystery of God's will, the mystery of the Jews, the mystery of the Gentiles, the mystery of the church, the mystery of the resurrection, the mystery of the gospel. Right here in this one chapter, there are two occurrences of the word. You may notice in verse 9, the apostle speaks about the mystery of the faith. And then in our verse 16, the mystery of godliness. Now, in each of these cases, the word mystery has a very distinct meaning. Let me give it to you like this. A mystery in the New Testament is a secret that God has revealed, though its full wonder is still to be made known. In the New Testament, a mystery, it's not a riddle that leaves you scratching your head. It is a secret that God has revealed, though its full wonder is still to be made known. Now, this is repeated many times. For example, in Romans and chapter 16, Paul speaks about the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but now has been disclosed. You see, it's a secret that God has revealed. We wouldn't have known what this mystery is unless God had revealed it, but he has revealed it. It is a secret that God has revealed. Or Colossians in chapter 1, you have the same thing. The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to the saints. So it's a secret that was hidden for ages and for generations, but now, mystery, what does it mean? It's a secret that God has revealed. Let's apply that, for example, to the mystery of the resurrection. Many of you know this verse well. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15 and verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. In other words, a secret that God has revealed, though its full wonder is still to be made known. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. Now you stand by the graveside of a loved one, and it all seems so bleak and so final. No one would guess from standing at a graveside as the casket is lowered that a bright morning is coming when your believing loved one will rise to a new and an everlasting life. But God has revealed it. And you know, God could have kept it secret. He could have kept it to himself so that on the last day, we who believed in him discovered that the greatest part is yet to be, but he has not kept it secret. Why? Because he wants you now to have the comfort of this hope in your sorrow. God reveals the secret and he says, now comfort one another with these words. So a mystery is something we could never have worked out ourselves. We've never have guessed it if we were left to our own intuition. It's a secret that God has revealed. But remember, there's a second part to the definition. Its full wonder is still to be made known. Now think about that in relation to the resurrection. God has revealed this secret. Oh, but its full wonder is still to be made known. What will your resurrection body be like? What joy will be yours when your whole soul is at peace and your whole body is made whole and you are at one and the likeness of Jesus Christ is fully reflected in you? What wonder will that be? The full wonder of it is yet to be made known, but for our comfort, God has revealed to us the secret that the resurrection day is coming. So that's a mystery. That's what it means in the New Testament. It is a secret that God has revealed, though its full wonder is still to be made known. Now, let's come back to our verse. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. So what then is this secret of godliness, the secret of you living the life that God has called you to and made you for? What is the secret that God has revealed, the full wonder of which is still to be made known? And the answer to that is Jesus. Jesus. Notice the verse. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. What's the next word? He. He. And then follow six marvelous statements about the Lord Jesus Christ. God has revealed this secret that a godly life is possible for you through Jesus Christ. In other words, the secret of a godly life, of you pursuing the life to which God has called you, the life for which he has made you, it doesn't lie in some technique, it doesn't lie in some program or even in some set of disciplines. The open secret that God has revealed, though its full wonder is still to be made known, is that through Jesus Christ, you can become the person God called you to be, the person God created you to be. Through Jesus Christ, you can become God's man. You can become God's woman. Through Jesus Christ, you can pursue a godly life.
And we'll continue to look at how we do that on our next broadcast. You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. Our message is called The Open Secret of a Godly Life. It's part of a larger series we're calling Jesus. And if you've missed any part of today's program, or you want to make sure you don't miss a future broadcast, you can always come to our website and listen online. Our website address is openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also listen through the Open the Bible app, which is free. You'll find it at your favorite app store, or we'll link you to it through our website. Again, that's openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. We're able to be on the station because of your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you an Advent devotional to help you prepare your heart for this Advent season. It's a 24-day devotional from Pastor Colin. And Colin, this is based on Isaiah chapter 40, right?
Yes, it's a marvelous chapter of Scripture to meditate on, especially as we're preparing ourselves for Christmas. And it's so full of good things. I mean, just verse after verse speak to us wonderfully. I mean, for example, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Now, that beautiful image of the flower and the grass fading away, it just speaks to us of the fragility of life. And we all come to places when we're feeling how fragile things are, things that we have, things that are around us, our own lives, the lives of other people we love and trust. And suddenly when you become aware of the fragility of everything in this world, you begin to say, what is there solid? What is there that I can rest on? What is there that will never move? And here Isaiah says, the word of the Lord stands forever. That builds strength into the soul. So this chapter is just full of wonderful, rich truth that will build, nourish, strengthen your soul. And it leads to this marvelous promise that's the title of the devotional. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. So if you need renewed strength, this is a wonderful chapter of Scripture for you to meditate on.
Well, we want to send you, as our way of saying thank you for your financial support and to help you prepare your heart for this Advent season, Pastor Colin's devotional book, Waiting for the Lord. You can find out more or give your gift online when you come to openthebible.org or call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. Our website is openthebible.org, and again, the phone number, 1-877-673-6365. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening today, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. The secret to living a godly life does not lie in some technique or program or discipline. Find out why next time on Open the Bible.